definition of police officer, we had talked about that. Would this be a place to put among our definitions? Should we put the definition or reference the definition?
I think we should put the police officers together with insanity, I think.
As we're listing our definitions.
Counsel, you're nodding, you're shaking your head. What's the problem?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bryan, I think if you look at, if you look in the dash one amendments on page three, Representative Dwyer did what we were going to suggest, and I think that that's sufficient. I don't think you need to put it in the definition section, particularly the definition section that we're amending in order to do the rest of this.
Yeah, would we need to use that twice, once at purchase, once at concealed weapon?
I don't know. I'll have to check that. I don't think so. I will check that. Okay.
As far as giving me the credit for being the author of all these questions, all these forms,
I'd like to reiterate that I simply use existing federal law, federal
forms, state concealed weapon laws, and all the questions that are currently asked.
So these
questions, either in a federal statute or in a state statute, are currently asked.
That's exactly right. The people that fill out all these forms are already familiar with all these forms.
They fill them out every day. And why
should we invent a new process?
What's the committee think about that? Would it sound like a better way to go to try to just align these with the federal forms?
I agree with that.
Counsel, is it, can we do that or?
Now we're jumping around. We can't jump.
We're still in section one.
Let's
definitions.
Okay.
Let's not jump.
I don't understand Representative Bryan's concern. There's a need for a definition of a police officer.
Yes.
Well, then I agree that we should put a definition in.
It could either be defined there or it can be defined. There are potentially two places where the reference is made to a police officer. One is eligibility for concealed weapon, and one is for the purchase of a weapon.
I'm sure there's a definition in the criminal code.
I'm shaking my head. If you look on page, look on page three of the dash one amendments.
Mm-hmm. 920 ORS 181.6.
In the way that it's handled there is the way that it would be handled the other place. This is not in the original bill, but it was proposed that it be added in. And I don't, given what, where these definitions are going, there's no reason to add this in as well.
If it only comes up twice, I agree you can use that phrase. If it came up more often, you'd want to just define it, not have to keep.
No, it only comes up once or twice, and I think that handling it as it's handled on line 20 in the dash one amendments is perfect.
Okay. Next.
Okay. Are we on issue four now, Mr. Chairman?
We're on issue four. That's just an informational thing so that people understand what's going on. Okay.
I tell you what, I think the committee would like, on this issue of found guilty but for insanity, we'd like to align ourselves with forms. And if we can do that, let's just leave this issue hanging. We'll try to come back and, when appropriate, try to align the forms.
Well, the forms that Representative Dwyer has used in his dash one amendments are the same as are in the printed bill. That's the first point I want to make. The second point is the state laws are inconsistent in terms of what they call it. That not all states call it found guilty except for insanity. And so given the fact that Representative Dwyer has utilized the same forms that are in 3470, I would suggest that we use the same forms are there throughout, so I would suggest we use that the committee stick with those.
Mr. Chairman, we're not bound by a term of art. We could say has been found guilty except for a successful insanity defense on a felony charge. Some descriptive phrase like that, and then you can reference the statute. And, in fact, I like that phraseology. It has, because we do find them guilty in Oregon now, except for being insane.
But you don't convict them.
All right. I said found. I didn't say convicted.
Okay.
Found guilty except for a successful insanity defense as to a felony. Something like that. Counsel can play with that. But I think, first of all, if you use found, you're not saying convicted. But then people understand that a little better. Successful insanity defense, that's something that's in the vernacular.
Not where I had.
Well, at least people around the bars where I had, they understand that a lot better than guilty except for insanity, whatever that means.
Okay. Well, we'll fiddle with it. But I don't think, in answer to your question, Representative Dwyer's used the same forms that are in 3470, and I think you have to, I think, somehow reflect what your state does. Otherwise, you'll confuse the issue even more.
Council, I think you're telling us that the federal forms are filed up for our purposes also.
I don't know what the federal forms look like.
Maybe. They look like just in my Dash 1 amendments because I gave them the legislative council to use to draft the Dash 1 amendment.
Well, then the federal forms are what it's already in law because that's what there's no difference between the forms in here, the forms in 3470, and the forms in the book. The forms are already federal forms then.
Okay, we already have federal forms, so we were.
Okay.
I would suggest that we accept Representative Mannix's suggestion.
I have.
Any idea what that is?
Yes.
I think the language is clearer that way. Do we also want to reference it to the statute, or do we just want to forget about that?
My suggestion is going to be found guilty except for insanity under ORS 161-295.
Sorry, I missed the last phrase.
Please explain.
Found guilty except for insanity under ORS 161-295. And we will also have to reference, this will come up later, but we will also have to reference that to misdemeanors as well. One can't be found guilty. But for insanity, of a misdemeanor.
Representative Ryan? Sound good? Let's take a motion on Representative Mannix's conceptual amendment. Are there any objections to that amendment? So ordered. Let's.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's move on to number four.
Well, actually, four is just a piece of information for committee members. You'll see some new definitions, and that's just an explanation of where they came from.
Thank you.
Okay, moving into Section 1 and Section 2 of the bill. And if you look on page 3 of my working document, there have been 7 what I have termed policy issues that have been raised to this committee from a variety of places. And I will review them briefly, and then the committee turn it over to the chair. The first one is the detailed register of record of sale, including the need to produce documentation of origin. Representative Dwyer's amendments make it a little less specific. He calls it proof of identification. The concept, however, is the same. The second issue is the 15-day waiting period. The third issue is the thumbprint, fingerprint issue. A fourth issue is increased penalties for seller violations. The fifth issue is expanding the list in Section 2 of those persons prohibited from purchasing firearms. The sixth issue is creating penalties if the Department of State Police compiles or maintains a registry or releases information in violation of the statute, and there is some proposed language in there. The seventh issue that was raised as sort of a generic policy issue within this section was the issue of restrictions on businesses regarding advertising. And then if you look on page 4, there were a number of technical amendments proposed. A lot of it have to do with mail. A lot of this is dependent on the mail, and I think Representative Bryan in particular wanted that cleaned up so that it was real clear that these things would be mailed. But before we get into the technical amendments, let me just reference one other thing. Section 5, line 11 on page 3 of my list, that talks about the list of persons prohibited from purchasing firearms, is a section that is going to take, it's going to require some work, and there are some proposed amendments further on in the bill that have to do with that issue.
Okay, we got some good amendments here that we have to look at. The first one is the problem with the document of origin, and I think that we're going to need to have Corey from Representative Katz's his office to come up and potentially somebody else from law enforcement if we have anybody to discuss this issue with us, because I know I'm going to move this amendment if nobody else does, and I think that some other people have expressed a strong interest to me to get rid of this section, and I need to know why in the heck it needs to be there. And maybe Corey can explain that to us, and if we have a law enforcement person, they might be able to help us out too, because I think this is basically a law enforcement.
Okay, where are we in the bill, Mr. Chairman?
We're talking about the
documentation requirements that are on the forms, and I think they're also in the statute.
I see. Okay.
This is the section of the bill that requires you either have a birth certificate or other in addition to your driver's license. We have a representative from Representative Katz's office. Please, if you could, tell us about the background for the reason for this section, and maybe the committee can get a feel for the dynamics of that from there.
The basic reason, several reasons. One, you can't require a Social Security number. Two, a driver's license. In this state, there's problems with people being able to acquire them illegally or forge them or what have you. And law enforcement's concern is to make sure they can accurately identify that these people are not giving false information. And it was thought that a birth certificate or a document of origin would be harder to come up with illegally.
Ready? Any questions on the part of the committee? If this section basically says that if anybody goes down to buy a rifle, they've got to break out a birth certificate.
This is for handguns, isn't it?
No, it applies to rifles also, I believe.
It's not necessarily a birth certificate.
It's an option.
Purchase of a handgun.
This is only the handgun section. We have it also in the rifle section over here.
Meaning the concealed weapons section?
I found it under handguns and concealed handguns. I'm looking for where it applies to rifles.
That might be a good question. This section was in the intent of the bill that this section is to, for the document of origin, to apply to rifles and shotguns also, or just?
I believe that in the section that applies to that, it says it uses the same form when you
print. 11 of the printed bill, it's the same language as in there.
Actually,
it's currently, well, it's currently in the applications for licenses to carry concealed. It's handguns only.
What I'm asking is, I don't see where it says it applies to rifles. I see it applying to handguns or concealed handguns.
Correct. That's correct.
I believe, though, it says that it will be used the same form when you purchase a handgun. that when you purchase a rifle, it'll use the same form you would use if you purchased a handgun. That's the language I believe is in there.
Perhaps Mr. Nichols can help us with that.
Nichols, can you step forward and tell us what... Please state your name for the record. I think I missed that a second ago. Just state
John
your name.
Nichols, Oregon State Rifle and Pistol Association.
Tell us what you know about this elusive birth certificate requirement.
Well, the working group, which if I may say a couple things about the working group, it consisted of people from all spectrums, those who want to outlaw guns and those who want to outlaw gun laws. And we tried to put together something to bring to this body, which is responsible for establishing public policy. And it was the request of law enforcement that they wanted some sort of positive proof of identification, and currently the Oregon driver's license does not provide that because it's so susceptible to getting one in a false name.
I think I spoke with Representative Bryan about this. He had a concern about the ease by which a birth certificate can be obtained. Representative Bryan, do you?
Well, that's true, too. I mean, you can send $7 to the Board of Vital Statistics and a letter you know, a letter and your $7, and they'll send you one of those cards in the mail. So I'm not sure that the birth certificate does a lot of things there in this case. I guess what I'm wondering is if we're requiring thumbprint, and the reason to require the thumbprint, if we were to continue with that, is the one proof positive method of identification. If we have this other information and that thumbprint, I'm not sure why we would need to get into these other types of identification. You know, so.
Any response to Representative Bryan's statement?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Captain Leon Riggs, the Marion County Sheriff's Office, a member of the work committee on that. It was the intention of the work committee to provide some options for identification. Not all of us carry the same type of identification. If you notice in that list, we even alluded to military identification cards as one of the potential. Now, we certainly know that not everybody here has that type of identification. So we tried to come up with some options in the original to give types of identification.
Chairman.
Representative Dwyer.
I spoke to my sheriff, Dave Burks, who I think is the president of the Sheriff's Association, and he didn't want it as an option. He wanted it in addition. And I have no problems if it's an option, but to require these other things and to require a birth certificate, to me, is a kind of harsh. I mean, I don't have a birth certificate. I'd have to send to Pennsylvania to get one.
Mr. Chairman. I think some people are living on or following this on two tracks. The current law talks about pistol, revolver, or other firearm, and then there's some requirements for paperwork. I'm still waiting for someone to show me where in this bill we say that for a rifle, to purchase a rifle, and if it's there, I'm still looking for it. To purchase a rifle, you're going to have to show all these kinds of ID. I thought the bill was addressing handguns and concealed weapon permits, and then there was going to be a study about all this other stuff. But
Representative Dwyer, comments with respect to the option list. I would recommend that if I'm seeing the option list as presented in page 11, lines 14 through 19, there really aren't, that isn't really a list of options. I mean, I don't know too many people are running around with their U.S. passport number or their military ID card. Pretty much you've reduced it down in reality to birth certificate. And so I'd say that's what they're after, and that's
fairly
small list.
And if you're in terms of Representative Mannix is concerned about, you don't see any reference to long guns. The study references the long guns. The study references fingerprinting in all guns.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know if anybody can answer this. What's the advantage of having a person have to show you a birth certificate in addition to a driver's license if a birth certificate can also be obtained through fraudulent means without too much effort? I'm not even sure you'd be acting. If you sent away for the birth certificate with your $7, I'm not even sure that'd be an illegal act. Can you obtain someone else's birth certificate?
That's illegal.
I don't know. I sent a letter in. Letter with $21 and got back three cards, one for each of my children. And I wrote the letter.
Probably three federal felonies you committed there, but we'll be quiet though. You can give me a nickel, so I'm representing you, and I won't tell anybody. How would you respond to that? What's this birth certificate requirement going to get anybody?
I've lost the intent of your question, Mr. Chairman. Would you do it again?
What does it provide for you that a driver's license doesn't? What greater faith do you have in a birth certificate than a driver's license, both of which are extremely easy to duplicate and create a fraudulent certificate?
Representative Miller, I don't have any more faith in that birth certificate. I'm only indicating, as I said before, we tried to give some options for the purchaser so he wasn't locked into one. Not everybody has a driver's license. Not everybody has a birth certificate. That would, the original intent was to give an option of identification to show to the person when they're at time of purchase.
Am I incorrect in thinking that the driver's license is not on your list of options?
The driver's license was on our list of options because we even indicated that there was not only the driver's license, but the state of issue.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Page 7.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. The, I'm looking at this. Is everybody looking at page 6 and 7?
Mr. Chairman?
We're looking at two different places, but the form's the same.
They're all the same. They come up several times here. It comes up. May I suggest something on this?
As,
we have two things happening here. One is, when the person walks into the gun dealer's place of business, they don't have to wait to walk out with a long gun. There is a study here that says we want to see what it's like for the next 2 years to have you fill out this paperwork, so they have to fill out these forms and a thumbprint. They do have to do that for the handgun under the law, and then for the concealed weapon permit, there's the further procedure. So when you have someone walk in, you want to know that he's not an illegal alien who has no right to be there and, as far as I'm concerned, has no right to bear arms because he's not a citizen. And, by the way, legal aliens do have many of the same rights as citizens, but illegal aliens do not have all of the same rights. There's fine points there. But what I'm getting back to is you want to be able to reasonably identify that person as someone to whom you can securely sell the long gun. And so I could see saying that you want a couple of pieces of positive identification and giving someone a shopping list of documents we identify as reasonable and saying perhaps two of these that are consistent would serve as positive identification. And, yes, I happen to have a birth certificate and a passport handy. I may not drive. I may not have a driver's license and so on and so forth. I propose that in terms of identification we take the not Social Security numbers, anybody can fake one of those. It takes you probably 2 months to find out from the Social Security Administration whether or not it's legitimate. But on these documents, I suggest that we just say two positive pieces of identification and then give a shopping list of all the kinds of documents we think are reasonable methods of identification and ask that those be presented at the point of purchase. And that's my proposal. And that would include the driver's license as one of the optional items.
Mr. Chairman, on page 6 of the Dash 1 amendments, I simply use the forms that the federal firearm forms that you're required to fill out when you purchase a handgun, the kind of documentation that satisfies the federal government.
Seven of the Dash 1 amendments.
It's on page 7. It starts on page 6 and it goes to page 7. That's verbatim from federal law, and I think it's sufficient. The problem with the whole thing is nobody's been checking anything.
Probably, yeah, it probably comes up twice.
Representative Miller.
With respect to the check and so forth, I guess in tracking on the example used by Representative Mannix, I'd be curious to know how many illegal aliens are legally obtaining firearms and using them for illegal purposes.
The point, probably the point being raised is that no matter what we do, I think people can still obtain firearms illegally if they want to.
What's the committee think about Representative Wire's suggestion?
The section in his bill says essentially that the proof of identification
would either be that the purchaser is personal,
going to the salesperson, or the purchaser is presenting proof of identity.
I'm Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I don't like the federal form. I'd like to be a little more precise. For instance, purchaser has been personally known to me for 6 months. Because I can see a salesperson who wants to move that sale along deciding, well, I've known you for 5 minutes. You're a nice guy. You're personally known to me. Now, check off the box. I'd like to see a certifying purchaser has been personally known to me for at least 6 months, or purchaser has presented proof of identity. But I still want to give a shopping list because somebody's going to say a library card is proof of identity, and I don't buy that. And I don't mind coming up with a list, and it could be a longer list than this, as to what identity is.
I think the federal firearm codes list what they consider to be proof of identity and the type. And let me tell you, and I know a lot of federal firearms dealers, and they are very judicious about, they've got so many forms and stuff, and they've got a journal that they got to keep in there. Work very, very good because the ATF can bounce in there, and it's working for them.
Mr. Chairman, our whole point is to avoid the amount of paperwork that the federal bureaucracy imposes, and I don't mind adapting. And if they've got a list, then I say let's adapt every document on their list within reason. If it's 50 documents, I won't buy it, but maybe 10 of them, and put them on here and say these 10 are okay by us, but have it on the form. Have it on the form. Don't make people cross-reference books and federal regs and everything else. That's my proposal, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Maddox. I have a suggestion that we basically say driver's license, their photograph, or birth certificate, or military ID. Probably say or Department of Motor Vehicles identification. Driver's license, and possibly say or other like identification. So would there be any objection to exceptional limit along those lines? So we do make it one of those pieces of ID.
For a federal purchase of a firearm, a voter's identification card is considered also a good ID. Voter's registration card.
Chairman, I want one of the ID cards to have a photograph on it, or I want it to be a kind of ID card that isn't as easy to get or requires some, let's face it. Somebody really wants to get a weapon illegally. We know they can get the weapon illegally, and if they're going to go through all this convoluted stuff to come up with a way of falsifying identification, they're going to go out and get the false identification. Rather, they're going to go behind some tavern somewhere and slip extra money to somebody and get it through that person. That's not what we're after. We are just trying to identify people who are felons or who are mentally ill who do walk into gun dealers, and we're hoping, I would think at some point, that we'll develop a system where other citizens will cooperate in the system and say, hey, look, I don't know you. I'm not selling you a gun until you show me some documentation that you're a legitimate person, because I don't want to add to the flow of illegal weapons to illegal people. But if we're going to have this approach and test it for 2 years, then I want to have positive ID with a photo on one item and one other ID of some kind of reasonable document that I can look at and say, yeah, you didn't go down to the city library and apply for a library card, but you came up with something that looks like a legitimate government document. Sure, the criminal's going to get around that, but I also want to make it easy for the responsible citizens so they don't have to go back and mail away for birth certificates. If they've got an ID card, DMV ID card, Mr. Chairman, OLCC ID card. There's a number of documents we can collect, and I would agree that we ought to have a list, but I still think it ought to be two, and one ought to have a photo if at all possible.
What's the sentiments on two versus one? I would kind of like to think a person could throw a driver's license down and call that good. That's my sentiment. But
Mr. Chairman, I would tend to say either one with a photograph or two of the others.
There you go.
Chairman, you have two pieces of ID to cash a check. Unreasonable to put the same requirement to buy a gun.
Credit card?
Good language.
I'll buy that.
Okay. Let's let's go for that then, that, that two pieces of identification, one of which must bear a photograph. Would there be any objection of the committee?
Are we going to define any more specifically than that what that ID has to be?
How recently the photograph has been taken?
Circles without your compass.
I got it out of that pocket.
I think current ID is probably the better term as opposed to valid. Pieces of current ID, one of which everyone's pulling out their light things.
I'm up to eight
are,
right now.
Miller?
Yes, I'm Bill Schwartz, according to this one. No.
And there's a picture on the on there. Representative Miller.
A current ID.
Two pieces of current ID, one of which
must bear a photograph
of whom?
Of the applicant.
That would be a great one.
We don't want to leave any ambiguities in there. They might drive a truck through. Okay, that being, I'll take a proposed amendment. Representative Bryan
right.
proposes that as a conceptual amendment to be put in throughout the statute. Any objections?
Would you state, I'm sorry.
Council, okay. Please state the
that under here. That under the section that is either called documentation of origin or proof of identification,
yes.
It will read two pieces of current identification, one of which must bear a photograph of the applicant. I mean, I'm going to have to fit it to make fit the form, but that's the conceptual part.
No list?
No list.
Just any two pieces, one of which has a photo?
No.
Shouldn't this say government